Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Salam to you, dear brother, dear sister, in faith and humanity. So welcome. You are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio, which in this program we're going to speak about turning setbacks into success. So be with us. Today is Friday, 26th of Rabiul Awwal, 1447 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 28th of Shahrivar, 1404 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 19th of September, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment by recitation of chapter An-Najm, verse 32.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الذين يجتنبون كبائر الإثم والفواحش إلا اللمم إن ربك واسع المغفرة هو أعلم بكم إذ أنشأكم من الأرض وإذ أنتم أجنة في بطون أمهاتكم فلا تزكوا أنفسكم هو أعلم بمن اتقى.
Those who avoid the major sins and immoralities, only committing slight ones. Indeed, your Lord is vast in forgiveness. He was most knowing of you when He produced you from the earth, and when you were fetuses in the wombs of your mothers. So do not claim yourselves to be pure. He is most knowing of who fears Him.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Following the promise given as to recompense and reward for deeds, the blessed verse's question is saying that God Almighty bestows further favors upon those who have refrained from committing grave sins. Abstention from committing grave sins leads to forgiving their lesser sins. It is worthy of note that persistence in committing lesser sins turns them into grave sins.
And to teach us the words of Allah, mercy and kindness and hope for everyone. Peace be upon you, O Muhammad.
Turn setbacks into success. Failure can hurt. Let's face it, failure hurts. That missed promotion, the relationship that didn't work out, each one can leave us feeling deflated, frustrated, and maybe even questioning ourselves. It's easy to get stuck in a loop of negativity, replaying every misstep and wondering if we'll ever get ahead. However, here's the truth. Failure doesn't have to be a roadblock. Rather, failure may be a detour to other opportunities or a way to learn and grow so that you can try again and succeed. It often comes after a detour. Remember that feeling of triumph after finally mastering that tricky skill or the relief of resolving a seemingly impossible conflict. Those aha moments often comes after experiencing setbacks, pushing through discomfort, and learning from mistakes. Your journey to success may have a few bumps in the road, but with the right mindset and approach, you can turn those setbacks into stepping stones.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum and welcome to today's special. This is Ali, your host. Today we are going to talk about how to turn failure into success. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that no matter what difficult situation a person is forced by circumstance, and he will, and the will of Allah to endure it will not last forever. You are able to move past it with difficulty or with ease, but it will come to an end. Therefore, why not use the period of difficulty to learn something about ourselves and the world in which we live? Let's refer to Quran again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran chapter 94, verses 5 to 6, verily, along with every hardship is relief. Verily, along with every hardship is relief. It is being repeated two times. Brandon Burchard reminds us that focusing on the defeat or failure will not benefit us in any way. Rather, it must be used as a stepping stone to greater understanding of our ultimate goals. He suggests using defeat as a way of rising to another level. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminds us that although we might be faced with setbacks and dire circumstances, everything that happens to a Muslim is good for him or her. So how wonderful is the situation of the believer, for all his affairs are good. If something good happens to him, he gives thanks for it, and that is good for him. If something bad happens to him, he bears it with patience, and that is good for him again. This does not apply to anyone but the believer.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Failure builds perspective. That's one of the benefits of failure. People who rebound after failure develop a better perspective on the reasons why they failed. They are more likely to blame the failure on something they did incorrectly, which can be changed or corrected for the next attempt. People who are badly affected by failing usually blame personal qualities such as not being clever enough, or they feel they don't deserve success. Other perspective. To reach your full potential, achieve your personal best, or do the impossible, you can't fear failure. To achieve any goal, dream, or desire, you must be prepared to accept the failures that will happen on the way. Embracing possible failure is a vital or necessary step to future success and being the best you can be.
It's not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in the world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone.
are some ways to turn failure into success. Now, one of them is exploring lessons from failure. The other is finding lessons from failure which can help. And I will tell you what are they. Adopting a transformative mindset that seeks to uncover valuable lessons from every failure can convert setbacks into chances for personal development and progress. By achievingly pursuing the hidden teachings within your failures, you redirect your attention away from dwelling on the negative aspects and instead embrace the potential for positive transformation. And three ways: build resilience to a specific situation or risk, learn new things that fuel your potential and personal growth, and adapt to evolving behaviors and strategies.
And the heart needs to be focused. The heart is always needs to be concentrating on this. And that is why it is of the difficulty to accept for some people to come forward and say, when it comes to love of materialism, I enjoy this, but I also love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fine, you can enjoy, but it must be for my sake and for the sake of ibadah and jannah. Because today there is a craze in the world, and that is called the eye craze. You know what that means, the eye craze? Eye craze refers to the idea that the youth, they want everything. I want, it is called. We have the iPads and the iMacs and the iPhones and so on. There is I want. It is the idea of the possession, the more to acquire, acquire, acquire. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that there is no problem for the human being to acquire. But this acquirement must be within the boundaries of Sharia. Number one, must not be Israf. But number two, it must be focused, not to distract the individual from the ultimate purpose. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That compass within us, that heart, that soul, that directs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should not be moved towards any other objective. So what am I doing so that my focus is God? My focus is not something else. Because we are easily individuals who lose objective in our lives. We become slaves of this world without actually knowing, without actually recognizing. And then all the time we're working to gain more pleasures of this dunya whilst we have not fulfilled the objective of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, we'll meet you soon. Till then, fi amanillah.
They told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer.
Can we not see how the planets look like diamonds in the sky? And everything on earth was created for you and I. Can we not see?
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, dear brothers and sisters, salam, and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. Today's episode begins with a short, striking hadith from Imam Askari alayhi salam. He says, "Man akthar al-manam ra'a al-ahlam, he who sleeps excessively will see many dreams. He who sleeps excessively will see many dreams." At first glance, at first sight, it sounds like a simple observation, but behind it lies a spiritual, psychological, and even neurological truth. So today we ask, what do our dreams say about our lives? And what does our sleep say about our souls? On the surface, the Imam al-Salam is stating a fact. The more you sleep, the more likely you are to dream. But beneath the words is a subtle warning. Beware of a life spent in excessive sleep, detachment, and passivity. Too much sleep dulls the body, fogs the mind, and traps the soul in a world of illusions. As the Quran describes people of heedlessness, they are like those asleep, unaware. Even science confirms there is a fine line between healthy rest and harmful withdrawal. So what happens to the brain and soul when we overindulge in sleep? Let's talk science. Sleep is vital. It repairs memory, balances mood, and detoxes the brain. But oversleeping more than 9 hours regularly has been linked to poorer cognitive performance, higher risk of depression, and disrupted rhythms within the body. And yes, more vivid, strange, or chaotic dreams, especially when sleep is fragmented or shallow. This happens because REM sleep, the dream-heavy stage, becomes more dominant. But here is the key. While dreams can sometimes be insightful or even spiritual, too many dreams can be a sign of mental noise and unresolved stress or emotional overload. It's no surprise that the Imam, in just a few words, connects sleep excess with illusion excess. So how do we use this hadith practically? Your body has a right over you. That's what the Prophet ﷺ says. But not to the point of laziness. Start your day early. Limit sleep to 7 or 8 hours. And start your day early. And replace passive sleep with active reflection. Before bed, ask yourself, what did I live today? Not just dream. And treat dreams with curiosity, not obsession. Imam Sa'ad alayhi salam says, dreams are sometimes from God and sometimes from Satan, and sometimes just thoughts. So don't let them distract you from what you must do while awake. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Welcome to Women of Resistance. Bisan is only 15, but having lived her whole young life in the shadows of the war and more recently a genocide, the budding poet and aspiring journalist says she feels much, much older than her age. Here is her story.
Atop the rubble and alongside the spirits of the martyrs, a powerful young voice cries out. Meet Palestine's next generation, young in years but with eyes that have seen more than most. A teenager with thoughts that jump in the ether, moving between the innocence of kindergarten and the horrors of growing up under occupation. October the 7th, the new defining point in the history of Palestine and Gazans, Bissan's young mind operating between recognition of the new horrors and a sense that this was almost an inevitable consequence of simply being born where she was. Bissan has acknowledged something those outside have slowly started to realize. Israel seeks not only the annihilation of Palestinian bodies, it wants to destroy their history, culture, any signs that they were on the land and off the land. For many of the youth like Bissan, they knew enough to know what they were experiencing was not normal. What this level of trauma does to a young mind will only be apparent in the months and years to come. Gaza's children still dream, still hope. Broken dreams give way to poetic expressions. Bissan is using the time she's been forced away from formal education to share her story. The reserve of strength that Bissan and her loved ones had to dig into to merely survive was often depleted. The sights and sounds being experienced by one so young sometimes took Bissan to a dark place mentally. The so-called ceasefires and false dawns for Palestinians have left a mark. The prospect of respite being sometimes overwhelmed by the scale of what has been lost. Yet that sense of defiance, that steadfastness that is imbued in the very DNA of Palestine speaks life into the darkness. Bissan's work online is a godsend, allowing her to share her story with the world. Bissan contemplates a future shaped by the realities of an Israeli genocide and a new Nakba. There's also a message of defiance and hope directed at the White House and its acolytes. Why does Bissan try to reach the world with her prose and stories? Why does this teenager, who's known nothing but the sting of occupation her entire life, continue to speak to us from Gaza? We don't have to guess.
Now joining me in the studio today to discuss Bissan's story is Sukaina Rajwani, whose 20-year-old daughter is among the Filton 18 being held without bail in the British jail for opposing the genocide in Palestine. Welcome, Sukaina. Sukaina, we heard the story of Bissan, just 15 years old, you know, the harrowing stories of what she's had to go through. She's grown up, you know, ahead of her time. She's 15, but she feels much, much older, you know, according to herself. Does that remind you of your daughter, Fatima Zainab?
So first of all, thank you, Sakina, for inviting me on the show today. I really appreciate the platform and for being able to speak with you today. So for the last 18 months, Gaza has been under siege. We have seen terrible atrocities being committed, and we cannot even imagine, and we cannot even begin to understand the plight of Bissan and children like her who are living in that environment at this point in time. Bissan has lived all her life under occupation, which we can only describe as an open-air prison. And when we speak about Fatima Zainab and Bisan, their situations are incomparable. We cannot, like I said, even begin to imagine what Bisan has gone through. But one thing I'd like to, you know, sort of draw out in terms of similarities, they're both young women. They both have dreams, hopes, and aspirations of what they want to do. We just heard right now that Bisan wants to be a journalist, you know, and Fatima Zainab is a third-year media student. She would have been graduating this summer had she not been in prison. She also aspires to, you know, to create films, to write her own, you know, screenplays and direct her own documentaries one day. So, you know, that's where I can draw the parallels and the similarities between Fatima Zainab and Bisan.
Now, just to make it clear, obviously, Sukina, Fatima Zainab, you know, with a group of other young people who had gone to Elbit system, which produces drones, you know, for the Israelis to conduct their genocide, and, you know, with Palestine Action, and they were held. Tell me a little bit about, you know, in brief, you know, what are the charges and how they're being treated?
So in terms of Fatima Zainab's arrest, Fatima Zainab was initially arrested along with five other activists, allegedly accused of causing damage to weapons, for trying to stop the supply of weapons to Israel. She was arrested under counter-terror powers on site at Elbit in Bristol. Fatima Zainab, along with those arrested with her, they were held incommunicado in solitary confinement for up to 6 days. And within this time period, there were four other arrests under the counter-terror laws. And then in November 2024, we saw further arrests, and now there's 18 of them held under counter-terror powers by the state, who are trying to, you know, do what they can, trying to intimidate the public by the use of such counter-terror powers. And there have been drone raids, 30 officers at a time, smashing doors and windows, entering properties of these family members, handcuffing siblings, just to scare and intimidate the general public, whoever is pro-Palestine, whoever is trying to speak out, trying to sort of take any sort of action. It is quite concerning. Four UN experts have also raised their concerns to our government, speaking about the enforced disappearance of the Filton group, especially whilst they were in solitary confinement. And they've also raised concerns about the massive, the definition of terrorism under international law. It is only used in most cases for murder charges or, you know, similar charges.
Absolutely, and there is no case of terrorism, as most
of
people,
course.
And even other charges are alleged at this stage,
yeah.
But they are being, you know, held without trial for more than a year just to sort of, you know, punish them. Thank you, Sukina, for being with me today, and thank you. We leave you with the sounds of Palestine by the artist Saif. Goodbye.
The similarities between us. Take a minute and see yourself in the mirror. You look like me. those eyes, lips you can't deny. Have you thought about why we look the same, why we feel the same? Don't tell me it's by chance. Oh, about you, and I wish you could realize there's no difference between us two. We're part of one family, no matter how far you are, and even if we don't know each other, oh, you and me, me and you, we are one. Oh, you're my brother, you're my sister.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
القرآن نور وبيان. القرآن هدي الإيمان. القرآن مسك الختام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners listening to IRB English Radio right now. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem. Inshallah, today we will practice verse number 21 and verse number 22. Surah Al-Ra'd, tell us what page, please.
252.
252. So, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, hope you have the Quran with you. Page 252, Surah Ar-Ra'd, verse number 21 and 22. Let's go.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين يصلون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل ويخشون ربهم ويخافون سوء الحساب.
And those who join that which Allah has ordered to be joined, and fear their Lord, and are afraid of the evil of their account.
وَالَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً وَيَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةَ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عُقْبَى الدَّارِ.
And those who are patient, seeking the countenance of their Lord, and establish prayer, and spend from what we have provided for them secretly and publicly, and prevent evil with good, those will have the good consequence of this home.
Nice recitation, mashallah. Allah bless the reciter, inshallah. Verse number 21. Let's see what Allah Almighty says in verse 21, Surah Ar-Ra'd, page 252. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين يصلون ما أمر الله به أَيُّصَلَ وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ وَيَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ. Guys, this ayah is really beautiful. You know what? This ayah tells us about a very important point, and that is about our relationships. In the Quran, Allah Almighty commands us to keep some of the relationships, to have some of the relationships, and there are some relationships that Allah Almighty commands us to avoid. Alright? For example, Allah Almighty says, لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء. Do not take the Jews and the Christians as your guardian. Okay? Or for example, some of the other relationships that Allah Almighty commands us to have is this. وبالوالدين
إحسان.
Your relationship with your parents should be what? A very important thing for you. Understood? You should be respectful to your parents. You should act in the best way with them. Treat them the best way. Treat them the best way. Another relationship is this, that Allah says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Keep your relationship with the scholars. Keep your contact. Be in contact with the scholars. Ask them questions. Learn. And another relationship, for example, you should be, what? In connection with the people, in the community. Hussein, would you please recite the first ayah?
Yes.
Thank you. Listen, everyone.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
أحسنتم.
والذين يصلون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل ويخشون ربهم ويخافون سوء الحساب.
أحسنتم. والذين يصلون ما. This mad is there to extend the sound. Yes, but it's not wajib, is it?
No, it's.
It's
not.
A jaiz mad, yes. Right? Jaizul. So you're allowed to ignore it. Yeah?
Yes.
The next one. أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. Again, this mud is also?
Jaiz.
You can ignore it. أَن يُصَلَ. How do you read it?
أَن
يُصَلَ. إِدْغَام. وَيَخْ. Heavy sound. وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ وَيَخَافُونَ سوء الحساب. But this one is wajib. This mad. Su'a. This one is wajib, right? Su'a al-hisab. So, then next one. So you have to extend it for six counts. Read the next ayah as well.
وَالَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا ابْتِغَاءَ
وَالَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا No. وَالَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا You don't have to join them.
وَالَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً
Wait, I told you that time that reading short, like a short part without mistake is better than reading a longer part with mistakes. So you could stop on سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً رَزَقْنَاهُمْ
Mm-hmm.
Without any mistakes. You said سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً There's no shadda on ya.
Yeah,
عَلَانِيَةً And also وَأَنْفَقُوا مِمَّا Last time you made the same mistake. Yeah, in another ayah it was in ayah 18 لَوْ أَنَّ لَهُمَّا You made the same mistake with me. So, be careful. Repeat it.
وَالَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ
أحسنتم. So, وَالَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا There is a vowel, long vowel. وَالَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا But when you join it to the next word, which starts with Hamzatul Wasl, you ignore this vowel.
Yes.
Do not stretch the sound of صَبَرُوا You say صَبَرُوا Only the Dhamma and Ra You join it to that Ba صَبَرُوا So Hamzatul Wasl is ignored, of course It has to be Plus Waw Mad is ignored here صَبَرُوا Waw Mad is ignored وَالَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ So, ابْتِغَاءَ The mad is also wajib. وَجْ Jim appears talking, right? What's the rule?
Yes. قَلْقَلَ
قَلْقَلَ You have to echo the sound. وَجْهِ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَقَاقَ Heavy sound. وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْفَقُوا أنفقوا hide the sound مما رزقناهم سرا
وأنفقوا مما رزقناهم سرا وعلانية ويدرؤون بالحسنة السيئة أولئك لهم عقبى الدار
It's not أق عين عقبى الدار So سرا وعلانية See how do you read it? معصوم سر
سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً
أحسنتم وَيَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةَ أُولَئِكَ The mother's watch, right? لَهُمْ عُقْبَ الدَّارِ رَا Heavy sound at the very end. I will recite these two verses. Listen and repeat, please.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
والذين يصلون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل ويخشون ربهم
والذين يصلون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل ويخشون ربهم
ويخشون ربهم ويخافون سوء الحساب
ويخشون ربهم ويخافون سوء الحساب
والذين صبروا ابتغاء وجه ربهم وأقاموا الصلاة وأنفقوا مما رزقناهم
والذين صبروا ابتغاء وجه ربهم وأقاموا الصلاة وأنفقوا مما رزقناهم
سرا وعلانية ويدرؤون بالحسنة السيئة أولئك لهم عقبى الدار صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Thank you so much, mashallah, to everyone. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, thank you so much for being with us till the end of this session. That's it from us for today. See you, inshallah, in the next session. Stay with our Arabic English radio every day. Inshallah, we'll be here with you. Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir and Masum, thank you so much for being with us. See you next time. That's it. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-Tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
Greetings and welcome, dear listeners, to Iran Radio. I'm your host, and it's an honor and privilege to be with you once again. Thank you for joining wherever you may be. As we continue to bring you thoughtful programming and meaningful reflections, here's what's ahead on your station. Coming up shortly is Like Muhammad, a program that guides us through the life and character of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him and his progeny. We'll reflect on the devotional, social, political, moral, and educational aspects of his legacy, offering timeless lessons and quiet inspiration. Following that, we turn to midstream, where we take a measured and detailed look at key developments across West Asia. This program provides careful analysis of the region's unfolding events, inviting a deeper understanding of the forces shaping our world today. Later in the hour, we bring you The Last Savior. Different scholars will share a thoughtful discussion on the occultation of Imam of the Age, may God hasten his reappearance, the culture of waiting, and introduce global revolution of promised Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance. Stay with us, Like Muhammad begins shortly.
Muhammad is my guide, Muhammad is my teacher, Muhammad my beloved Rasulullah.
I want to be like you.
Like you.
In everything I do, Ya Rasulullah.
I want to walk like you, talk like you, read my Quran just like you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters who are listening to IRIB English Radio. This is the show Like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm your host, Muhammad. We were talking about the verses of the Quran that talk about and mention Prophet Muhammad. And sometimes they directly address the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny. The previous verse was verse 40 of Surah Al-Ahzab. And now we're going to look at another verse from the same surah, Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 45 of this surah. This verse directly addresses the Prophet and says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. O Prophet, indeed we have sent you as a witness and a bringer of good tidings and a warner. So this verse is actually praising the Prophet. We can say that. It's saying, Ya ayyuhan nabi, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila. The next verse is actually the verse that praises the Prophet. Wa da'iyan ila Allahi bi'idhnihi wa sirajan munira. So the first verse says that, verse 45, you are a witness, Prophet. Prophet Muhammad was a witness to what? To the fact that Allah is one. We have only one God. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Okay? So he is a witness to people that there is only one God. And then it says, wa mubashshiran wa nadhira. Not only that, he's not just a witness. He's also a bringer of good tidings and a warner. He came to the people and told them, look, people, your life is not limited to the life in this world. There is also another world where you will be rewarded for your good deeds and punished for your bad deeds. Of course, we should always remember that Allah's rewards and punishments could also happen in this world and also the hereafter, because we have verses where Allah does not specify that he will reward good actions of the believers only in the hereafter. He doesn't, in some verses,